ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Sarvam,
Sarvam,
everything.
Everything.
Me, unto me.
Mune,
O great sage.
Krishna
Vicheshtitam. The activities of Lord Krishna. Vaktum, to describe. Arhasi, you are able. Sarvagya, because you know everything. Shadhanaya, because I am not envious, but have all faith in him. Vishritam, in full detail. O great sage, who know everything about Krishna, please describe in detail all the activities of which I have inquired, and also those of which I have not, for I have full faith and am very eager to hear of them. Because of my vow on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water. Yet, because I am drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. Sukadeva Goswami said, O son of Bhrigu, Shanakarisi, after Sukadeva Goswami, the most respectable devotee, son of Vyasadeva, heard the pious questions of Maharaj Parikrit, he thanked the king with great respect. Then he began to discourse on topics concerning Krishna, which are the remedy for all sufferings in this age of Kali. In this verse, the words Krishna, Charitam, Kali, Kalmashaknam indicate that the activities of Lord Krishna are certainly the greatest panacea for all miseries, especially in this age of Kali. It is said that in Kali Yuga, people have only short lives. They have no culture of spiritual consciousness. Anyone is at all interested in spiritual culture, he is misled by many bogus swamis and yogis who do not refer to Krishna Katha. Therefore, most people are unfortunate and disturbed by many calamities. Srila Vyasadeva prepared Srimad Bhagavatam on the request of Narad Muni in order to give relief to the suffering people in this age. The Krishna consciousness movement is seriously engaged in enlightening people through the pleasing topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. All over the world, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is being accepted in all spheres of life, especially in advanced educated circles. Srila Sukadeva Goswami is described in this verse as Bhagavata Pradhana, whereas Maharaj Parikshit is described as Vishnu Ratam. Both words bear the same meaning, that is, Maharaj Parikshit was a great devotee of Krishna, and Sukadeva Goswami was also a great saintly person and a great devotee of Krishna. Combining together to present Krishna Katha, they give great relief to suffering humanity. Anartho pasamam shaksha bhakti yogam apoksujay lokasya janato vidvams chakre satvata samhitam. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature. Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth, Bhagavatam 176. People in general are unaware that the message of Srimad Bhagavatam can give all human society relief from the pains of Kali Yuga. Kali Kalamashak. Pointing out in the purport that the message of Krishna
is actually the solution to the problems of Kali Yuga. It's the real solution. Is that so many difficulties are there, but the real solution is hearing and chanting about the Lord's glories. This is actually what will solve all difficulties. Factually, there is no material solution for any material problem. And so similarly, there's no material solution for any spiritual problem. There's only spiritual solutions for material problems and spiritual solutions for spiritual problems. So we find that here, then, the panacea for these problems is then given in this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. All this is the glories of the Lord, and now specifically Sukadev Goswami is going to get down to discussing the Lord's pastimes. And specifically here, then, his pastimes in Vrindavan. And with that, then all the problems of the world can be solved. Because problems come up due to forgetfulness of Krishna. Any problem we have is actually because of false identity. If we do not identify with material energy, there is no problem. It's actually that simple. But because we are habituated to identifying in this place, then the difficulty comes is that that habit makes it that again and again we'll identify, so again and again what we identify with, those problems become our problems. But actually, there are no problems. The only problem is remembering Krishna, being Krishna conscious. Other things, we make them problems. Because if it's our problem, it's a problem. If it's not our problem, it's not a problem. Right? Just like your life is going perfectly fine, it's a pleasant day, you're happy, and then you bump into somebody who has a problem. Right? And because it's their problem, then naturally it's the world's problem. And then you being part of the world, you have to hear about the problem, you have to get in the right mood for the problem. If not, then you're going to be put into the right mood, or you're going to be rejected from, you know, this sphere of good association because you don't understand and relate to the problem. But otherwise, before that moment, it wasn't your problem. Now, after that moment, now it becomes your problem because you're wondering how to stay away from that person and their problems. So it becomes a problem. But before that, it was no problem. Because the problem is you identify with it, it's your problem. You don't, it's not. So then, Krishna here is then, Sukadev Goswami then is pointing out that the real panacea is Krishna's pastimes. So then he starts to describe these pastimes. So then in here we see is that Krishna's appearance then is in Mathura. And as the son of Devaki. And then from there, then he goes to Vrindavan, where he takes up the residence there and the pastimes there. So, in this, then, much discussion comes up amongst great rasiks, about who is the real Krishna. Krishna born in Vrindavan, or Krishna born in Dwarka, like this, in Mathura. We will hear about this in a few days. Like that. It's been picked as one of the topics of this 5-day program. So the difficulty comes up is that Krishna's arranged it like that. And Krishna's arranged it and everybody speaks it. Krishna appears in Mathura. Inside story, we know that Krishna simultaneously appeared in Vrindavan. So, Raja Krishna appeared in Vrindavan, and Mathura Krishna, Dwarka Krishna, appeared in Mathura. So now, for the Rasiks, then it's very important to point out that no real Krishna appeared in Vrindavan. But for the real Rasiks, then the taste comes that he appeared in Mathura. Right? Because rasik means taste. So taste is more important than knowledge. Saying that Nogi appeared in Vrindavan, that's knowledge, that's not taste. So actually, those aren't the Rasiks. The Rasiks are the one that he appeared in Mathura. But they know he appeared in Vrindavan, because he never leaves Vrindavan. But now, what is that doesn't leave Vrindavan? You have a person, he's sitting, and surrounded by many people. Each one of those persons sees a different personality. Though at the same time, they all claim he's the same. But the eye contact with one person, the content of it, is different than with another person. This is human interaction. It's different. That's what's nice about the human. God is always God, because everybody's below him, so everybody is his servant. So it's the same. There may be some more intimacy or some less intimacy, but even that intimacy is seen. You see that he gives some special attention to Vishvakshina and Garuda. You see that Lakshmi is on his lap. It's bona fide. It's official. He gives special attention to Lakshmi. He's sitting there. It's obvious. There's no one else sitting on his lap. Only Lakshmi is sitting there. Right? Everybody can see it. There are glances to each other. Everyone can see. Everyone can see his special attention to Garuda Vishvakshina. This is God. But human life is different. The intimacy between a man and a woman is not seen by others. It's not official. It's not. But what is public is very formal and official, and they're standing together and talking and asking how are your kids and the family and all these things. That's official. But how they relate intimately is different. That's not seen by the public. So even when it's sitting in a group, that glance can be there. And that glance then is special to that person. No one else catches it. So then the discussion comes, then what is the difference then between Braja Krishna and Dwarka Krishna? Right? It's that interaction with the devotees. It's the same person. Just that mood of Krishna in Braja never leaves Vrindavan. You don't see it outside of Vrindavan. He won't interact with anyone like he does with the residents of Vrindavan in Vrindavan. Prabhupada says we have to be very careful about making such clear-cut distinctions between Krishna and Vishnu. Right? Because Krishna in Dwarka is Mahanarayan. Because the same person just... when he goes out of that intimacy of those who have that great love for him, the mood changes. Right? The mood changes. So therefore, no one sees the moods of Braja Krishna. Therefore, Braja Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Because it's the mood, it's the rasa, it's the interaction that makes Krishna. Right? Krishna is rasa. So that means the manifestation of a particular rasa is that particular manifestation of Krishna. Krishna is the same person. But with the Vrajbasis, he interacts in such a way that that most intimate aspect is seen. Well, in Dwarka, it's not seen. In his heart, it's there. He is still thinking of Vrindavan. But it's not manifest. So this is special, right? This is what's important. So then, means Krishna, he is there in Vrindavan. He never leaves, and that's why he's there. And he is there in Dwarka. Now, so they say, well, he's in Vrindavan, so why he doesn't just be there? Why if you're in Dwarka? And why if we're in Mathura? Why make this whole, you know, halagola there? One is Krishna is not to be disturbed by others who then the Vrajavasis. Right? Maya makes sure that no one disturbs him. So those who are interested in serving Krishna in other ways, then
they have to have that ability to enter. Right? How do you enter the Lord's pastimes? Said by knowing his pastimes, his birth, and his activities, then you can be freed from the material world. So everybody has to have that opportunity to know. So the Dwargavasis, the Vaikunthavasis, then he appears there because they can know that Krishna. Right? They can know that Krishna who is served through rules and regulations. They can know him. But Vrindavan Krishna, they don't know. They know he's there, he has all these nice pastimes. But, you know, they're seeing actually the son of Devaki, he goes to Vrindavan. And because he goes to Vrindavan, then he performs his pastimes, he does these nice, sweet, wonderful pastimes. Then he comes back to establish religion. Right? When he grows up, then he comes back, kills the demons, establishes religion, and all his nice pastimes there. So then everybody can relate to that. And then the Vrindavan pastimes are also nice, sweet, wonderful. They add a very wonderful or unique angle to Krishna consciousness, even of the Vaikunthavasis, because it's nice, it's wonderful. But the son of Devaki, he's done those. Right? When he's in Vrindavan, he's known as Nandananda, Vishodananda, but Mathura Krishna, he's done those. In other words, Vasudeva has done these pastimes. So then for them, it works very nicely. There's no problem for them. They can see God in this way. And for the Brajavasis, then they see him as the son of Nanda Maharaja and Yashoda. But one must remember one thing, is that the rest of the Vaikuntha and what's in the material world is called Swakya Rasa. It means what is authorized, what is bona fide. And that has a very strong rasa, a very strong party rasa, a very nice togetherness. And then it's a, how do you say, a protective, consistent togetherness. That you know, God is there, and he's there with me. And he is mine, I am his. And I have a method to serve him. He accepts that method. Everybody else performs that, worships him according to that method. And then everything goes very nicely. Everything is very consistent. Everyone's very happy. And it is very strong. So that is the Swakya Rasa, very dependable. So it creates a very deep togetherness. In its rasa, you know, a dependability, a religious sentiment, like that strong emotion, strong, stable emotions it creates. And this is basically what most of the cosmic creation tastes. But in Vrindavan, it's parakya, which means it's unauthorized, means it's not legal. So then, now, if we want to have... Now, Vrindavan is pure, unalloyed. Everywhere else is pure, but Vrindavan is pure, unalloyed devotional service. So, therefore, if we want to have pure, unalloyed Parakya Rasa, that means not only can he not belong to Radharani, he also cannot belong to the Brajavasis. Right? Because the whole Vrindavan mood is that is flavored by Radha Krishna pastimes. It's all there to enhance the Radha Krishna pastimes. So you're not going to have somebody enhancing something who's not in the same mood. Right? If you want to enhance something, you have to be in the same mood of what you are enhancing. Right? Let us say someone is cooking and serving prasad. You want to help, you have to be in that mood. You can't be into fixing motorcycles. Right? It just won't match. There has to be commonality. That Radha and Krishna, it's a Parakya Bhav. So that means everybody else in Vrindavan, it also must be Parakya Bhav. Now, it's not going to be conjugal Parakya Bhav. but the part of here, the flavor of that, that they're not yours, it's stolen. It's you don't know from moment to moment if it's going to be there the next moment. So that intensity of affection and interaction, that is part of the above. Right? It's generally there in the conjugal. Because you generally say parents, they are your parents, friends, they are your friends. Like this. But Vrindavan, it's no, they aren't his parents, they aren't his friends, they aren't his servants, they aren't his well-wishers. Because he actually is from Mathura. And they know that. Therefore, every moment is played as if it's the last. So the intensity that's there, you do not find anywhere in the cosmic creation. That's brunch. So yes, we do know that he's been born in Vrindavan. But that's a side issue. Because that's a fact. We're interested in rasa. Rasa, rasi, rasa. There's a connection. There's some, strange enough, as a grammatical, Sanskrit grammatical connection between rasa and rasik. Like that. As far as I know, rasik means one who tastes rasa or is able to appreciate and enter into rasa. So what's important is the rasa. So to enhance parakya rasa, Krishna can't be from Vrindavan. He has to belong to Mathura. It's just a matter of time before they call him back. Right? When Akrura comes, no one is saying, hey, wait a minute, he's the son of Mother Vishoda. I mean, you know, beat him, get out of here. They know he belongs to Mathura. They know he is borrowed. Right? In the past time, anyone says, no, he can't go, he's from here. You know, you take Vasudeva Krishna, you know, go ahead. You know, where we meet, he's birthed Krishna, staying here. He was born here. Let's get with it, you know. Don't you know? You're not informed? I mean, well, what's going on in Florida? No one told me anything. No. No one knows. Everybody knows he's from there. But it's one of those facts no one likes to think about. Therefore, they put it on the side. So this is the aspect. So these pastimes then become the most special pastimes, is Vrindavan pastimes. Because they don't exist anywhere. Anywhere else, there's an easy entrance into. But Braja, it's not. Because Braja, it's the mood that's important. Even the form is not important. In Vaikuntha, the form is very important. The opulence, the greatness, you know, the regulation, all that's very important. It adds, it supports the rasa. But in Braj, it's just, it's the rasa itself, what is being tasted. Everything else simply is there only because it adds to it. If it adds, nice. If it doesn't, it's not important. So the form is not, but that creates the form. That's what creates the speciality of Braj. So then the Vrindavan pastimes, then, where he's there, then he's bringing the devotees into the most intimate recesses of rasa. Means how far one can taste, that the living entity can taste, that is being made available. Means the jiva being limited, means there's only so much they can taste on their own. But if they're connected with the unlimited, with the devotees, then they can taste beyond their capacity. That is the specialness. Is that a certain amount they can taste. But beyond that, then it's another thing. Because they're moving into a realm where they're actually giving up their nature as tathaspa. See, Vaikuntha, it's not being given up. Like that. One is in the internal potency, it is there, but one still has one's own desires and needs. So it's been given up, that independence from Krishna, but independence within the spiritual realm has not been given up. Because still the aspects of liberation are part of one's need. to be in the same planet as the Lord, to be in the same form, same opulences, or be a close associate, are still a need of the living entity. And that need is in connection with Krishna, but it is the living entity's need. But it works very nicely in Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha, it functions fine, no problem. Because Krishna is God, and so no one's equal or above him, so everyone's junior to him. So it functions nicely. As you go to Dwarka, that's given up some more, Mathura more, but in Vrindavan, that's completely given up. Adarshanam, okay, so that cuts out same planet intimate association. Right? Right there. That right cuts those out. So, and that you deal with me as you like means one becomes poor. So opulence is gone. Right? And the same form, we don't see that anybody is interested in that there. So that automatically, when you get into human form, then humans are always different. Right? When you get into celestial, then you can have them being the same. But then, you know, otherwise, no. So there, that aspect of the last point of independence is given up. So the whole point is that bringing the nature or the desire of the living entity to such a common point of Krishna and his devotees that it basically is the same. The experience, the platform of it, is then so similar, so close, that it becomes, that's the specialness there. Right? Madhvacharya, there's two. Because there is the living entity, there is God, and the taste of that is different. But the Vrindavan pastimes, then the identity with Krishna, that they are, he is mine, is so strong, and Krishna with them, that they don't see the difference like that. Difference is there for rasa, but in mood, then the difference is not there. Krishna just wants to please the devotees just want to please Krishna. So there's no difference. So then that makes the Vrindavan pastimes very special. So the surrender there is the greatest. So the greatest is asked. Like that. It means for other plant forms it's less. Less is asked. But for Vrindavan it's complete surrender. That's the specialness that is there. So now Sukadeva Goswami will tell these pastimes. So we've come from the first canto up to the ninth, through the ninth. Then situating oneself properly in the devotional process is there. Then the Vrindavan pastimes then are carried on till we get where we see the complete full surrender of the residents of Vrindavan. Then when those surrender is complete, then we see rasa is fulfilled. So in drama, in the Sanskrit drama, is a scene or an act is performed to fulfill a rasa. And when that rasa is projected properly, then it moves on to the next aspect. So the rasa having been fulfilled, basically with the completion of the rasa dance, and those aspects, as we see, basically by that time all the demons have been killed. So that means all the aspects of devotional life, subtleties that are not favorable for this pure unalloyed devotional service on the platform of Braja Bhakti, have been removed. So now rasa is complete, the taste is complete. So then, very soon after this, then Krishna leaves to go to then perfect other aspects of rasa. Because we have to remember, for Krishna, it's rasa that's important. He's come to associate with the devotees. That's what's important to him. as a side thing, then the lower levels of rasa, means for Krishna, Vaikuntha rasa is important. Vaikuntha rasa means spiritual rasa. Means based on devotion, the interaction between one devotee and another. I mean, one devotee and the Lord based on pure devotion. That's Vaikuntha rasa. In the material world, then the highest material rasa you can get is that of religion and dharma. Because in dharma, then you have all the rasas of social interaction are perfectly fulfilled. So then the second thing is then he establishes dharma, because then that's the second level of rasa. Right? Like that is swargiya rasa, or the heavenly rasa. That's established. And that platform, then people are able to function, and from there, being satisfied and peaceful, then they can turn their mind towards spiritual, if they are so inclined. Much of the time they're not inclined, but if they're so inclined, then it makes it easy for them. Because the form, swargiya rasa, is a reflection of the paragir, I mean of the Vaikuntha rasa. That's it's reflected. So then, those two he establishes. And then to do that, because the demons are an obstacle to both the devotees and the pious, then he kills the demons. So he kills the demons, because they're only interested in partiva rasa, which means earthly sensual pleasures. Right? They're only interested in sense gratification. They're killed. Then the pious can become engaged in their platform of rasa, and the devotees can be peacefully engaged in theirs. So we see is even you take the forms of why Krishna's appeared, still it is based on the principles of rasa. Sometimes we tend to try to change. No, the rasa is the thing. And then there's a form in which that rasa manifests. So that becomes your piety. It becomes your particular devotional activities. You know, your pancharatric activities, your Vedic activities that are engaged in the Lord's service. So rasa is actually the thing. So that is the point. So if we want to see is then rasa, then that is what then is being given. The highest form of rasa is being delineated then in this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then after that, you go on to other parts. Then you go to Mathura and you go to Dwarka. Any questions, sir? Does Vrindavan and Navadvip does what happens in Vrindavan and Navadvip are they similar? Yes, it means Navadvip is Vrindavan. You know, so therefore that similarity is there. Means it's that same Krishna who is coming in the mood of the same Radharani. That is there. But because of the tastes of being together or being separate, separation is considered more intense. It is deeper. Therefore, to taste what is happening in separation, then Krishna can't be in Vrindavan. Right? And Krishna leaves Vrindavan, goes to Dwarka. Then separation by the Vrajvasis is fully tasted, and he tastes. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, to fully taste separation, then has to go to Kurukshetra, has to go to Kurukshetra. That's the place where separation is tasted in its highest degree. Otherwise, then it is always mixed with sambho, their togetherness. Right. So That's, so you see, that's similarity also. If you want to taste it, it has to be, therefore he goes to Purim. Because he is in Vrindavan when he's here. So you can taste what separation is tasted in Vrindavan, but the separation tasted when he leaves Vrindavan, that you can only taste if he leaves Vrindavan. Is it the same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Yes. See, the point is the mood goes with it. See, when Krishna goes to Dwarka, that same mood goes with him. But it's only his heart. The Rukmini gets to... She becomes aware of the peripheral edges of it. Because at night, then Krishna starts talking about the gopis. So she knows, and she can tell by the mood in which he says it and all that, he doesn't call her name with that same affection. Nor any of the other 16,108 queens, and she's the best. Nor anyone else, nor Devaki. No. So she can tell he's there. You know, and when Krishna's, you know, wherever he goes, probably gives a glimpse of it. This is the Rasik. They reveal these glimpses here and there. Gross is not... I mean, something gross is not refined. Connoisseurs go for something refined. You know, it's like the woman covered is more interesting than the woman uncovered. So the so-called Sikhs like to uncover everything, because then it's more obvious. Because then it's obvious, yes, it's a woman. Right? It's got the physical nature of a woman. When a woman's covered, you have to tell it by the subtleties, by the nuances. So Prabhupada, by naming the deities in Dwelli, Radha Parthasarathi, that is a glimpse of what goes on in the world of the Braj Rasiks. Right? It means that we have to always remember that there are other realms of Vrindavan that are manifested for the different devotees who cannot handle the Braj of pastimes. I mean, not say the Braj of pastimes, the Braj of mood. Like Kunta, they always sin. Means in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, three of the Alwars may sing about pastimes of Vrindavan. One exclusively. And there, that means one quarter of their previous acharyas are talking about Vrindavan pastimes as the highest pastimes of Vaikuntha Nath. Right. So they appreciate them also. But they can't enter Vrindavan, Raja Vrindavan. The Nimbarkas don't enter Raja Vrindavan, because they're only in the Sampo, only Radha and Krishna together. That's nice. When they're separated, it's too intense. Right? Means you have to have a pure heart to handle intensity of emotion. Right? If somebody, let's say somebody's grown up in a difficult situation, emotionally difficult, estranged family relations and friendships and all that, for them to go deep into emotion is very difficult for them. It takes them time to be able to do it. They have to trust to do it. It means if you trust, you can allow your emotions to fully go. If you don't trust, you hold them back. Because you don't know. You go so intensely into this emotion, you don't know what the other party is going to do with it. So it's surrender to taste such depth of emotion. So that's the Vrajavasis. Absolute, total surrender. Whatever Krishna does with it, he takes it, you know, bites it in the knot, throws it out the window, stomps on it, they don't care. So they taste the deepest. So separation is intense, more intense than Sambho. Sambho's happy, nice. The other is sad. So therefore, the Nimbarkas don't want to taste that sadness. A hint of it's the here and there. It's some fun. Radha and Krishna are sitting together. They are sitting at, what's it, Prema Sarovar.
right? And Madhava Pada and B comes, and that B comes and is disturbing Radharani. So Madhava Mangal goes and shoos the B away. Then for fun, because he knows her intensity of love for Krishna, therefore she says, Madhu is gone. Right? Means Madhu is Madhu means the bee. Because Madhu bees are also known as Madhu. So she immediately thinks that Krishna's gone. So even though she's sitting on Krishna's lap, she starts crying in separation. Right? Then Krishna seeing this, he becomes so overwhelmed, then he starts crying, because both are crying and can't see each other, so they actually think each other's gone. So their tears then create the prema sarova. So now all the other associates can appreciate that separation, but at the same time they know they're together, they can see it together right there. So they get a hint of that separation. But at the same time as then, for the Nimbarkas, then it's still together. Don't worry, it's still on me. You know, just like Jiva Goswami with some of his disciples. This Parakeet Ras, this is illicit. That's just for the past tense. Don't worry, they're actually married. You're seeing that Brahma, by Bhakti Purana, Brahma himself personally comes and marries them in this pastime. But it's kept quiet, you know, just for Parakeet. You know, just to enhance that, it's brought up. Oh, yeah. Like that. So then it's, you know, one of those obvious winks, you know, that, yeah, you know, I know, but no one else knows. That kind of thing. So it keeps them satisfied. But to go deeper than that takes more surrender. So it has its limits. So Braj is there, the different. Then there are those who worship, then that's Raghunuddha. Then there's those who want to worship Radha and Krishna, not Lakshmi Narayana, that they have these nice pastimes. So they want to worship Radha and Krishna, but they're doing it in the mood of Lakshmi Narayana. That is their goal. So then, Radha and Krishna is a realm lower Goloka, opulence, great opulence. You know, Radharani goes to see Krishna on a swan airplane with 10 million maidservants, right? Vrindavan only 5 or 6 thousand. Small time. You know, here, 10 million maidservants. You can imagine how big the airplane is. Right? If she's going to see her beloved. Right? So, rules and regulations come in there, and they're able to do everything. So the form of it looks like Vrindavan, but the mood is very different. So that's the thing, is that mood that Krishna has in Vrindavan goes with him. But what others see, that's all you're going to see. You want to interact means he has to come out with that mood. And he only comes out with that mood in Vrindavan. He doesn't let others see it. So like in Dwarka, they took him over, they made it at Nava Vrindavan. Vishnu Karma created one. Exactly like Vrindavan. But he couldn't replicate the gopis and that, so he made statues of them, with them. But the deity is not different from the person. And he filled it up with cows. So Balaram knew about it, so he's there, he can interact. Rohini, she's from there, so she can interact. So the two of them go with Krishna, everybody else hides in the bushes. So then Krishna, then he starts interacting with everyone just as he does in Vrindavan. And it just, everybody is overwhelmed. I can't remember, I think it's, who's its mother? Kamsa's mother or something. She becomes so enamored. And so, I say, she just develops that conjugal attraction to Krishna. In that, but she goes running out there, this old lady goes running out, you have to grab her and drag her back, right? So then he manifests because he thinks he's in Vrindavan with the Vrajbasis. Goes up to Mother Yashoda's the statue, starts talking to her and this and that and everything. And Nanda Maharaj. He's not quite sure why they're not talking back, but, Mother Rohini says something, distracts his attention. Balaram, yes, let's go out with the cows now. Then everything's going fine until he gets to the so-called Jamuna, which is the ocean.
and he looks across the Jamuna, it's a little bigger than normal. But then there's this island out there with all these palaces and flags and opulence, and it's kind of like, I don't remember seeing that in the Dhamma. You know? And then it starts to, where am I? You know? Then it's revealed that, well, actually, he's a Dwarka. So he only manifests that there. He thinks he's in Vrindavan, he manifests. He's not, he doesn't. So that's the thing. It's the same person. Otherwise, when you make it into these different persons, then you're not going to meet any one of them. Or you're going to meet the lower one. Because if Krishna is different by Vaikunthapati, you're only going to meet Vaikunthapati. You're not going to meet there. Because then you don't understand Krishna. Right? Meets what's his name? Frederick, no, what's his name? Gopakumar. He's there. He's talking, he's dealing with Vaikunthapati as if he's his cowherd boyfriend. And everybody else is going, man, this is weird. Yeah. Some of them go, some of the older ones, no, oh, it's okay. You know, everyone has their mood and all that. And, you know, it's that, but, you know, they're telling, but you should be a little bit more formal, you know, stand there with your hands folded and stand straight and all that, you know. And the other one's saying, no, this is off the wall, you shouldn't do this. So they've taken him to the side, you know, away from everyone. And then after everybody leaves, then Vaikunthanath comes in his four arms and then changes into two arms, gets out his flute, plays his flute, brings all the cows, and it's all Vrindavan. But he says, but don't tell anybody else. And then he goes back to his forearms and everything like that. So that's the thing, is that the Brajavasis, they see Krishna and everything. They only see Krishna. Paramatma is Krishna. If Paramatma becomes the Ishvadeva, then why won't be Govinda? So that's the thing, is that they don't see that distance. But at the same time, they make distinction because they're rasiks between mood. Here he manifests this mood, there he manifests that mood. And they appreciate, because it's rasa, and Krishna is doing it, they appreciate it. Just like the mother appreciates the rasa between the son and his friends when he's out, you know, playing in the yard. It's absolutely different than his mood with her, but she appreciates it because it's her son. So the Brajvasis appreciate any rasa that Krishna does anywhere. You know, it's only the so-called rasiks only will listen to Vrindavan pastimes and nothing else they can listen to. Those aren't real rasiks. And the real rasiks don't acknowledge them. They don't accept them. So that's the thing. This grossness, obviousness, then it's like, oh, it's different. You know? But the point is rasa is subtle. And if you talk about unlimited, how much grossness can you get? Right? How much grossness can you get? I mean, there's basically, you hear from the Shastra, a basic set amount of vegetables. And you vary them according to seasons. You have six seasons. But still, though, you know, during that 2 months of that season, you have that vegetable for the whole time. Right? And that season's going to come back next year, and then the next year, and the next year for eternity. That means for eternity, Radharani is going to be cooking that vegetable. So you can't make too gross of variations to create unlimited variations. Okay, today she deep fried it, tomorrow she boiled it, the next day she baked it. Now what? Right? For today it's in a tomato sauce, tomorrow it's in a cream sauce, you know, and then what do you do the next day? That's it. So you got, okay, now five, then two times three, okay, six preparations. Those are obviously different. Anything else is going to start to be subtle. You change the spicing. You put a bay leaf, you didn't put a bay leaf. You know, you put raw cumin, or you put whole cumin. You cook the cumin in the chunks. You know, or you boiled it, or you put it at the end, or you did both, or you did all three. You know, and that's just the cumin. What about the bacon? So in this way, they create them. It's subtle. So So Krishna, being a Rasik, you can appreciate yourself.
So that's the thing, is the Rasik Plata as given by our acharyas, by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. That is how to keep it hidden. The others didn't need to hide because they were working within the realm of a great society of devotees who were working on that platform. So it's more common discussion, common knowledge. They could function in that way. And the karmis were the karmis. And those karmis who came to you were interested in what you had to give. So very quickly they could appreciate the openness of that. So, but now it's going the other way. It has to be closed. Right? So, in one sense, it becomes more part of you. It's more hidden. So that, though it's saying, is, oh, before that was spontaneous and now it's so vital, in one sense, you could even say it's the other way around. The other way, it's the natural thing that they do. Here, it's not the natural thing, that, so it has to be hidden. So that's, and that is the whole point of it. Huh?
You take that.
Huh?
You repeat that.
Or you repeat that. Means before we would see spontaneous devotional service was the standard day-to-day service of the devotees, basically before Bhaktivinoda came. Right? With Bhaktivinoda you start seeing the bridge between the Vedic and the modern. You know, or let's say Vedic and Western, Vedic and non-Vedic, because the others were dealing with Gaudiya and contemporary Vedic culture. But with Bhakti and Nautakur, you were dealing with Vedic, and then the contemporary was Western, non-Vedic. So things have to become more hidden. It's just like this. Let us say you have a bunch of women who are all adulteresses. And they all know. And they're talking amongst themselves. Right? They don't have to hide the fact. They can talk about what they're doing and this and that and who they're with and, you know, conversations and what they ate and how they dressed. Right? No problem. But when they're not in that association, they go out of that, then it has to be hidden. So when they go to their home, they have to hide it. Or with their other cultured women, they have to hide it. So that's the definition of spontaneous devotional service. Rupa Goswami gives that definition of the dealings of one on that platform. Is just as the wife hides everything, she does her duties even better. That means she looks more like a chaste Vedic woman. So the devotee looks more of a Vaidhi Sadhaka. You know, he looks more of a Pancharatri. And the so-called Rasika, he looks more. You can't tell. So some will say they changed it. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, they changed our line. No, they didn't. They just hid the line because now you're dealing in realms that are you can't deal with. Right? Someone who is just in bed last night with his wife, he can discuss the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and not get musty? Right? The woman who is dressing to attract somebody, she can hear these pastimes and not get musty. Therefore, they have to be hidden. Here, before, who were you doing? Gyarabis? Giving up everything. Sitting around under a tree in their coconuts. They're the ones discussing. But now we're in this environment where non-Vedic culture is the accepted culture of devotees. And then it can't, it has to be open. It has to be hidden. It has to be hidden. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, understanding this, hide it. But it's not hidden that it can't be found. It's just hidden. It's not put in the place where the so-called Sikhs think it is. Right?
It's very obvious. You want to hide the cake. You don't put it in the refrigerator. Right? You stick it somewhere else. Okay? There's all the you know, how you say, those interested in good eating just go to the refrigerator and they go to the pantry. So they're going to find it there. You hide it somewhere else. Appropriate, but not so easily seen. So it's there. I probably just said it in that verse. It says, this movement. The Krishna conscious movement is seriously engaged in enlightening people through the pleasing topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. All over the world, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam by Bhagavad Gita is being accepted in all spheres of life, especially in advanced educated circles. And it is. It's just a matter of whether we're taking part in it or not. But it is. So they are knowing how to put it into there. Then you can bring up the children properly. Okay? Does that make sense? It's understood when the child is born, then eventually they get married and have children themselves. But if you say, well, they're going to be married anyway, so, you know, get out the porno movies, then that's not a parent. That's a demon. The parent knows that when they get older, they can understand these things. But when they're young, they have other more important things to learn, like good culture, behavior, service attitude, you know, work ethic. Right? You want to be a grihasta, you gotta work. You have to have a good work ethic. They're lazy, they're not making good grihasta. Lazy people can't be grihastas. You have to have a sense of control. Uncontrolled people can't be grihastas. Right? Irreligious people don't make good grihasthas. So you have to train them in all these things. Respect. They have no respect. They'll never be a good grihastha. Man doesn't respect a woman. Woman doesn't respect. They'll never be a good grihastha. So many things have to be taught. So those are there. And these others, those will come. Even though they may be the bigger thing, they're the smallest thing to teach. But if it's you can't teach it based on bad qualities. Right? If somebody's self-centered, these subtleties you can't teach. You can't teach them. How are they going to deal? How is a woman going to deal with a man and man with a woman? Can't. Because they're self-centered. So the big thing is that selflessness. That's the big thing. Then this other, that's the small one. Once it's there, it's easy. So that's the problem. The modern puts all the emphasis on this and none on that. But the Vedic does it the other way around. Put all the emphasis on this, and when the time comes, that will automatically be understood. With some mild direction, it will be understood. If you've given so much background, it's just like, let's say, you go into the kitchen unprepared, nothing. You cannot make a preparation ready in 20 minutes. You have to go get this, go get that, cut this, cut that, maybe even run out to the store and get something. There's no gas. But if you spent time, you've already prepared everything, made everything, cut everything, ground everything, everything's there ready and all that. You sit down, one preparation takes you 20 minutes. Plus, even the most elaborate, 20 minutes. Because it's all groundwork. You may have spent 2-3 hours preparing that. So that's the thing. The Vedic is prepare and then and the preparation will be the best if it's cooked in that way. Modern is to just go in, do it, be yourself, do what you want to do. You'll be uninhibited. Don't feel restricted. Okay, well, how do you feel unrestricted when there's no gas? You know, or your neighbor borrowed the knife and didn't give it back, or there are no vegetables, or, you know, there isn't any ghee. You know. Like that. Or the pots are all there, but they're dirty because you were in your freedom, didn't wash them. You know? So that's the problem. So they don't cook well and their preps aren't very good tasting. So that's the thing, is that
So the whole thing comes down as you see this, what you're dealing with is actually moods. It's because of a mood you go. You take someone who is a chef. What's the difference between a chef and someone else who cooks? They both can cook the same prep. But the chef is a mentality. The other is just convenience. You know, they need to eat, or maybe there is a specific function they'd like to do something for that, but they don't. A chef means they're in that mood of what is good cooking, what is good eating. So it means they have to know what's good eating. Right? Cooking means you have to know what it tastes like, what it looks like, what it smells like, what it feels like. You know, what's the environment in which it is eaten, who it's eaten with, right? You don't do some really sober, formal dinner for like a kid's birthday party. You don't have a kid's birthday party for a formal dinner. You have to know what is the environment, who's eating, what is their mood, what time of day, what season, right? How many people, is it intimate, is it fit? All, and so if you look at it, it's just rasa. Then from rasa, you work back. Okay, so then it's this, so then we can cook these preps, then I need these things, I need these facilities, and that, and then you get back to the market where you actually buy your goods. So that's Vedic. That's why it works. It's because it starts with the rasa, then moves back. And if you look at anything in this world that works, it's because it's done like that. What's the mood? What's the actual rasa? Who's involved in it? What are the elements? What's the situation? And you bring it back, then you get down to the science itself. You know, and then down to the art. Right? So it always works like that. So therefore, Krishna is always there. His rasa is always there. He is rasa. So that's all there is. Now it's just a matter of, then we look at Krishna is rasa. Then we look at, okay, so Braja Krishna means Krishna in the mood of Braja Bhakti. Krishna in Mathura means Krishna in the mood of Mathura Bhakti. Krishna in Dwarka means Krishna in the mood of Dwarka Bhakti. Krishna in Vaikuntha means Krishna in the mood of Vaikuntha Bhakti. Krishna in, as in the material world, then is in the mood of the materialist here. He takes what it is that they want, right? They want something shiny, right? So therefore, he makes things shiny. Gold shiny, mirrors are shiny, right? Jewels are shiny, fresh cloth is shiny, right? Cook something and eat it shiny, right? You know what I'm saying? When people are happy, they're shiny. And everyone's attracted to the shininess. Because it's a reflection. The material world is a reflection. So the shine is what attracts. The thing itself is not attractive. It's the shine that's attractive. Right? You probably get more out of looking at the preparation, ooh, you know, than that tasting it. So it's the shininess that people look for. No shine, right? Someone's feeling bad, dull, down. You know, they look dull. They're not that. You try to perk them up, right? And then they become shiny. When they smile, and then you're successful. Now they're shiny again. Okay, everything's okay. So all it is Krishna's taking notes. The difficulty comes because we're embodied, so we take it as a separate body. Krishna's body, Vrindavan, Krishna's body here, Krishna's body there. No, Krishna is, he is rasa. So because he's manifest, he is all rasa, but because he's manifesting that particular amount. So Braja, he manifests 100%. Right? And then when he comes into the Dwarka, then it drops. Like that, it drops the quality. So 64 are manifested in Vrindavan, 60 in Dwarka, in full. Right? And by Kunda, then it's 55 in full, but the 60 are there, but 55 in full. Right? Then the thing comes down into the avatars, the guna avatars, then it's 50 in full and 5% to some degree, you know, as Brahma, as Shiva, like this. And then the jivas, then they're 50% max. So they're separated.
Ramanshika Center. But the knowledge, I mean, Vishnu Tattva is not separate. It's just what mood is manifest. Like that. And so how much of the mood manifests, what you can see. Because even he has it, he may not manifest. Right? Ramachandra also has 64%, but he only manifests 60. Right? And the Shringadev has 64, he only manifests 60. Balaram has 64. He generally manifests, you know, between 60 and 64. Chaitanya is 64. He manifests less. So it's just a matter of mood. What he wants to taste. So for him, all he's doing is tasting rasa. That's all he's doing. It's just pastimes. So as we mentioned before, it's when one mood is tasted, then it moves to the next. So that's pastime, that's a drama. Why is a drama done that way? Because it's in reflection of Krishna. Right? Drama works in this way. When Krishna makes this mood, that means this rasa. When his eyes are like that, it means this mood. When his hand is like that, it means this mood. When his feet are like that, it means that mood. This dress, that's law. So then that's all been written down and it's called the Nati Shastra. That's just what goes on in the spiritual world. And so it works on the same principles. You're working to attain rasa, the taste of the rasa. When that's attained, it's successful. Non-Vedic is reality. How real you can make it. Then you get some taste, because people are gross. Right? And so the clothes aren't off, no one thinks it's a woman. Right. So, but the Vedic is not subtlety. So, therefore, the Vedic literatures are simply what's reflected of the spiritual world written down. So it's based on the same principles. So his pastimes means it's to attain rasa. Right? The battle of Kurukshetra is over. So are the pastimes. Right? You don't hear much after that. Not much happens after that. There's no great pastimes happening after the battle of Kurukshetra. Right? Then he leaves. Rasa is attained. Right? So that's the whole point, is you're just tasting rasa. We'll go, but is that a waste? Because for us, it's gain and safety. I got it. Now I want to keep it. But we want to keep the thing. But the thing, how much you'll taste it. The getting of the thing had a taste. Knowing that you have the thing has a taste, but the thing itself doesn't give any taste. What does it give? You know? You have your washing machine. What rasa you have with your washing machine. Right? Getting the washing machine, that was fun. Having it, yes, I have it, it's nice. But what do you actually, what rasa do you with it? Nothing. So that's the thing. Krishna is what he deals with is alive. So he's not, gain and safety isn't his problem. Because it's all his anyway. It's all his. He is gain. He is safety. So if you have him, you have it. If you don't have him, then you're always worried about it. Does that make any sense? Huh? About 60%. Well, that's better than sometimes. That they were super tender. He just said, this is a strong. It's like 0%. Because you're dealing with these overlapping things. Because we look at it this way, we look at it that way. That's why you say, see that there, one of the philosophies is Dwait Advait. It's this way, it's that way. Because looking at it this way, it's clear. Looking at it that way, it's clear. When you merge the two, that's the part of the problem comes. So that's Achintaveda Advaita Tattva. Simultaneously, two absolutely contradictory things sit in the same place at the same time and are perfectly combined. That's Braja Krishna. Right? Below Braja Krishna, you can find contradiction. Because they're still expanding. They're expansion, you have Krishna, and so when you expand, then you have something that's short of the source. Right? In the source, everything is there. In Braja Krishna, everything is there. So you take everything, that's Braja Krishna. So there is no contradiction. There can't be, it's Him. But when you expand out into any other form, and expansions of expansions, the more you expand, then the farther it takes to get back where that's reconciled. You know, because if a line expands out here and one expands out here, then you're going to have to find a contradiction. So you have to go back to Krishna to get rid of that. So therefore, the Vrindavan philosophy, Chintaveda Meditata, is simultaneously one and different. It's all going on at once. There's no problem there. So, because we're not used to that, that's a whole step to get there. That's slowly, step by step, you see it's taking the devotees through. And when you get to spontaneous devotional service, then it's like we're starting, okay. You know, it's just like you educate the kid before he goes to school, but when he gets into school, then you say, okay, now education starts. But then, once he's in school, ABC, you know, that's not, you don't sit around all day and you have a big board meeting and they go, ABC, EFT, HIJ. They don't do that. No, they're discussing, so they're using ABC and their numbers and all that to have a discussion. So that means once they know the alphabets, they know all the grammar, they know all their writing, they know all their mathematics, they know what all that, then you can say education starts. Because that's when you use it, right? So the Vedic, the emphasis is on that. You start from what they're going to do with it, then work back. Modern is, we just teach you all this stuff, and then when you graduate from university, then it's up to you to find out if you can do anything with it, you know? You know, I'm sure you could flip some burgers with that degree, but that's like, you know. Many times they won't even hire you, you're too educated, right? These dead-end jobs, they won't hire you. Because they say you'll be frustrated. We won't take it. So they leave it. It's up to you. They don't work back from there. Because you go up to the PhD level. What's the purpose? There's no conclusion. They don't want a conclusion. If they have a conclusion, they're out of a job. Right? They got to do some work. Right? But if you just speculate, that you can do forever. So therefore, you know, the whole system is... Right? So, but then, even we're taking that system, then when you can use it and that, discuss on theories of why it's, then you're talking about education. Right? So it's not until you get into, you know, later in high school, then you can say, now we're dealing with education. But they don't really get into why it works. Then you get into university. Then you can say, okay, now he's an undergraduate, now he's starting his education. Right? But then, no. That's they're just basically giving you the foundation how to think. Before that, they figured you're too stupid to understand. So after 12 years, then they figure that now you're ready. Then they, for 4 years, then they basically give you a foundation how you should think. But even then, you're an undergraduate. So then, real education starts after graduation. When you do your MA, your PhD, then they teach you what is the pure academic thing. Right? So then you could say education starts. But then if you really look at it, then it isn't until your PhD that they consider now you are a person who really is a seeker of the truth and can actually know how to approach a subject, absorb it, and delineate it. So it's not until PhD, actually, that education starts. We catch the point? So, therefore, devotional service, it starts with the Shraddha. But then, until there's Sadhu Sangha, it's not really complete. But until you start following the activities that the Sadhus follow, the Bhajana Kriya, it doesn't really start. You know, and until you get to Nishta, where you're steady in that, you can't say you've started. Because if you start, stop, you can't say that that's really. So when that's there, then that's there. But until you have a taste, you really don't know what you're dealing with. Once you have a taste, until you're the taste may come and go, until you're attached, then you can say, now let's get serious. Then when you're attached, okay, that's serious, but unless you're fully absorbed, right? Until there's emotion, you're attached, but you don't call it a real attachment until the attachment is just, it just rips you apart. Then you can say, now you're attached. Right? And then, if you're attached, but then sometimes you worry about other things, you get hungry, you gotta go to the toilet, or you're sleepy, like that. So, then, you cry yourself to sleep, such a thing. But you've fallen asleep, you've forgotten. No, until you're fully absorbed. Now, when you're fully absorbed, it has to be then fully absorbed that's favorable to Krishna. And then it's fully absorbed favorable to Krishna. Then it's got to be on the platform of love. Then when it's on the platform of love, then you got eight more platforms to go through to get to Mahabhav. Right? And then Mahabhav has a few different levels, so it keeps you busy. So the idea is that is that until you establish the Vedic culture and get rid of voyeurism, then you can't have Vedic culture. Then you have to get rid of impersonalism. Because Vedic culture will accommodate impersonalism, not voyeurism. Voyeurism is just useless. That's anger. And that has no place. It's useless. Then it gets into next. Then you have to get rid of the envy. Then you have to accept the Lord. Then you have the Vaishnavacharyas. They set the platform. Then, once that's there on the platform, that then you can have Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. So it's naturally step by step. And in that, then we have sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti, then you have bhava bhakti, then pekka bhakti. So it's a natural step up. So the thing is that you're always trying to remove, because one and the other, then there's something that overlaps. Right? Between sadhana bhakti and bhava bhakti, there's something common. In bhava bhakti and pekka bhakti, there's something common. Or between sadhana vaidhi bhakti and sadhana raganuga bhakti, there's something common. There's always overlap. So that twilight is what's hard to understand. So until you can accommodate the twilight, you don't move to the next thing. So that's the difficulty, is accommodating the twilights in the different aspects of the devotional process. Does that make sense? 75, okay. No, it's better. Yeah, no. This one.
So the accommodating the twilight basically is a secret to going to the next.
Yeah, the contradiction is not a problem if it's connected to Krishna. It's just that sometimes it is a problem because the taste that somebody has in relation to Krishna is through a particular line. Like if the taste is through Vaidhi, then aspects of spontaneity are a problem. Or if somebody is through spontaneity, then things are Vaidhi. It means you end up with these problems. So if someone understands the bigger picture, then they're not a problem, because they take it as their goal. My goal is just to always hear about Krishna's pastime Vrindavan. But then, why? What's the bigger picture of that? Okay, I want to memorize all of Krishna's Ashtakaliya Leela. So what? For what purpose? What are you going to do with it? Okay, it's 9:25, so Krishna is now out at the front gate trying to convince Mother Yashoda that it's okay to go to the field, and she's saying, no, but we have so many servants, they could go, and Nanda Maharaj, why doesn't he take the cows out, you stay here, so all this is going on. So what? Then what are you going to do with it? You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is then there has to be a purpose, and that purpose has to be connected in a positive, progressive way to the ultimate purpose. This is love for Krishna. Then it has some meaning. Otherwise, if it's taken on a lower level, and that goal is put, then it's not complete. You know, it's just like you're cooking, and if your goal is just to get it cooked, then that's it. I've seen this happen many times.
Everybody
focuses on getting it cooked, and it's cooked. And then some prasad is supposed to happen. Prasad happens an hour or two later. Because all the cooks and everybody else just, you know, walks off, goes, takes their bath,
they're
cooking, they're out there having a good time, you know, scrubbing the nails, doing all those things they normally don't do. Instead of just going, taking a quick bath, coming back, you know, then they decide, you know, now it's, you know, pedicure, manicure, you know, whatever it is that they want to do, you know, spend the whole day, because they attain their goal. And then prasad doesn't get served, or if it does, it gets served badly. You know, the preparation with this particular sauce wasn't served together, right? They thought the sauce was a sweet. Oh, I thought it was a sweet prabhu. You know, the whole thing's ruined. I've seen it tons of times. It's not just, I don't see the sign. Because the cooks, they said, all they're trying to do is cook. That's it. You know, someone else's job to serve. And then they're the ones that are frustrated when nobody liked what they cooked because it wasn't served together. Right? You know. I've seen so many times. Because they don't have to see what the bigger picture is. The picture is the Lord and the Vaishnavas being pleased with a festival. So that includes serving, eating, cleaning, the whole thing. The pots being washed, the kitchen being cleaned, it's the whole thing. So if that's seen, then it's taken all the way through, then it works. People are happy. People are satisfied. Otherwise, if you have any shorter goal and don't see that goal in relation with the other, there's always a problem. Always. You know, if one runs into a problem, it means that one's goals aren't set far enough. You know, yesterday's goal may not be far enough for today. Because yesterday you were here, you're trying to get to here. But if today you're here, there's still more to go. Because prema is the ultimate goal. Everything else is stepping stones on the way. That makes sense.
So to be successful in anything that we do, we have to have complete information for ourselves. So that the end result is already in view of mind. And you can travel all of those steps, even in supplement. And at the time going to place, so that it actually is a success by taking the steps.
Yes. Yeah. He's a holy. It means one should educate yourself as much as you can. Because the point is as you go, if you keep contemplating, then you will also understand the subtleties of the next levels. Like that. Because at the beginning, you may not. But if you're the point in place, like in Vedic education, the first thing to put in place is generally critical thinking. Critical analysis. Means Vedic critical. Critical meaning simply that you look at, analyze it. What is its position? What's it for? It's not the modern meaning, faithless critical. This means logical thinking. Because unless that introspection and logical thinking are in place, then when you get to the next level, you won't be able to see the door to the level after that. One has to be able to. So that contemplation must always be there. It's a constant companion. So then one sees the means, but the goals and principles, even in the beginning stage, you can always catch. Because they're so simple. One can always catch that. Then the details of how to fill it in. Like Prabhupada said, he's made the structure, now fill it in. So from the materialistic point of view, or the mundane point of view, the structure means, oh, that's just the simple stuff. Now we've got to get into the real stuff. Because the foundation is down and the building is up. But the Vedic, the foundation is up, the building is down. Because it's a reflection. This is reflective. This building is upside down. We think it's right set up, right? It's just like you take something, put somebody in a room, or you give them special glasses that turn everything upside down. And for a few days, everything's upside down. But lo and behold, after a few days, their brain will turn it around. So even though the glasses turn it upside down, they'll see everything right side up. So that's what happened in the material world. We see everything right side up. But actually, it's upside down. The roots of the spiritual world. We think the roots here, and then we're going to get to the spiritual world, right? And we're humans, and God's like us, and you know, so he thinks like us, and everything like that. No, we think like him. It starts there, and comes down here. You know, it's like that. So the principles can always be understood. Prabhupada's given the principles. They're the big thing. Details are small, because details change. Principle always remains. That's where it's the main thing. Though it may be the easiest to explain, it may take the least amount of academic or technical knowledge or ability to understand. But it's actually the real thing. Right? That's what's special. He's like in the modern, you get up to the top in education, they teach you how to think. That's what's important. It's not the branch of knowledge, it's how to think. Then any two PhDs can get together and talk completely different subjects and they can both appreciate it. Because it's a method of how to approach it and discuss it and taste it. That's actually what's there. It's not the knowledge. It's the taste of speculation. And so you have to have a particular head to taste that. So the principle is very simple. Right? The neophyte and the master have something in common. It's the person in the middle. It's the expert that's in his own field. You know, but the master knows that the expert knows that he can explain it to the neophyte. The expert can't explain to the neophyte. That's the thing. He's looked at it so much, he can see what is actually the principle that makes it work. You know, like you were mentioning, those little side notes in the cookbook. That comes from a master. Right? The experts can't tell you that. They just do it, or when it comes up, they move around it. But the masters know it's there, so then they tell you, when you're cooking this, look for this. You know? It's like 10 things are cooking together in that pot. They point out one. Just look for this. When you see that, it's ready. You know, someone else says, well, when this is this, and that's that, and this is here, and watch that, and they'll give the whole thing. The other said, just watch this. You know? Like I remember, it's like, you have these guys cutting dirt, right? And this guy's cutting it, they pick it up, put it on someone's head, they take it to another person, they take it to another person, finally at the end of the line somebody throws the dirt. Right? So now you're trying to get the dirt from point A to point B. So the general thing is you sit at point B and sit there and look, is the dirt coming? Right? And then somebody told me, says, no, you're sitting at the wrong end. So you go to point A and see, are the baskets never full on the ground? He said, you watch that. There should never be a full basket sitting on the ground. If there is, that means it's the wrong proportion of people throwing dirt. There's too many cutters, not enough throwers. That's where you waste money, is the basket sitting on the ground. I was at the other end, so the dirt arriving. Right? And that's it. You just watch that one spot. Then you know if it's working or not. You don't have to see if they're cutting it properly, or they're throwing it properly, or this and that. You just tell them, throw it here, that's all. That's it. So that's mastery, is that they know the whole system, they know that this is actually what works. So that we see in our charters. So they give it to us very simply. And because we're not so subtle, then we see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, they give it even more simply. So even, you know, persons coming from our background can catch the essence and work and get success. At the same time, this is so expert that as you mature, as you develop, you see also what's in between. You see all the subtleties and all the like that. So it's all that. Common sense, yeah. Some devotee once said,
about common sense, that Prabhupada's the most working on the principle that everyone in the material world is crazy, you know, then, you know, he said Prabhupada's the most normal person. Everything is just practical, down-to-earth, common sense, no trip, no mentalness, no ego, no nothing. It's just the most pure, natural, human common sense. Because that's what we find in the spiritual world. Over here, then people get into it and identify with it, twist it, and this and that. It's so simple, but they complicate it because simple is, it doesn't enhance their ego. I was once talking to an advanced student in mathematics, probably doing an MA or a PhD in mathematics, Western mathematics. I was talking to him about Vedic mathematics. And just showing him how the Vedic mathematics takes everything and simplifies it simply down to addition. Doesn't matter. The most complicated thing is still addition. And he acknowledged it, that actually math is just an addition. But it was one of those things where you acknowledge it and immediately get it out of the way, because it's just so distasteful for him. Because if it's so simple, that means him, after 20 years of math, you know, is on the same platform of taste as the first grader who just figures out that you can take one and one and you get two, his ecstasy. Because his point is, my ecstasy is light years beyond what that kid got. No, it's the same thing. So immediately he acknowledged it, immediately he moved that out of the way and didn't want to talk about it. Absolutely just refused to talk about it. Because it was just, you know, then his whole thing of him being so special and he knows what no one else knows just collapses. So that's the problem. Ego gets in the way, our emotions, what we want to get, the emotion I want to taste out of it. You know? Like last time. I want to taste it. I'm friendly with the three worlds. Suri, Namsara, Bhutana. Okay, so everybody's got to smile and interact. But that's for my purpose. Am I worried that everybody's not smiling? Are they unhappy? Are they sad? Am I going up to them? What's wrong? No, it's what's wrong with these people. They're not smiling when I smile. So there's a purpose. So there's an emotion that I want. So it's the mind there. Or it's my ego. Or my intellect is so much more intelligent. I see it like this, in a complicated way. I got a nice solution. I went through intellectual channels. I got to an answer. Someone else found a much more direct one. It's also intellectual. But it only took 2 steps. Mine took 5. So I want to say mine's better because it took 5 steps. Yours only took 2. It's simple. So ego gets in the way of just common sense. Common sense is 2 steps are always better than 5. Like that. Yeah. Yeah, so that's the thing, is to harmonize all the platforms of existence. You know? That's the thing. It means if we want, we can use all those fancy languages, you know, harmonize the different spheres of, you know, intellectual, emotional, and, you know, the identity, and we can do all that. But the point is that itself is a trip. You know, it's we're just work on the ground. This is the way it is. This is how the mind works, the intelligence works, you know, the ego works. So this is how it works for Krishna, and this is how it gets in your way. So what gets in the way, we try to remove. What works, we try to accept. So it's just down-to-earth, practical, normal stuff. You know, we have to always avoid trying the recognition for a platform of advancement or an ability. Just like if you have a family, let's say you have a family. Everybody in the family has a PhD. So the kid going to school and getting straight A's is normal. And they'll encourage, you know, you're doing good, but you gotta keep it up, you gotta do this, you know, like that. You know, you got a long way to go. And then you got another, you know, so many years, 10 years, 12 years, 5 years. You know, you can't let up. So someone may think is, hey, I'm doing straight A's. No one else, how come they're not encouraging me? Why are they just saying, no, keep it up? Why are they finding my faults that, you know, I was, you know, didn't put in my full amount of time on homework today? And,
you know, hey, I'm smart, don't they appreciate? So that's okay if you're out in the world of those who are common. The common person will say the kid that got the A is special. But in the society of people who it's normal to get A's, then that's what you're supposed to do. We're trying to go beyond the A's. You know, what are you going to do with those A's? Then it's a whole different thing. So that is the platform the Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta says that we have to work at. Is it normal that you're going to be dedicated to devotional service? It's normal that you're going to see that the material world is nonsense. And this is the process. So we can encourage and point out, but no one should, because they've attained it, then sit back and think, once their short-term goal is taken, then that's it. No, then you'll see right at that time, then things go down. Prabhupada said the ball's either going up or it's going down. It doesn't sit in space. Either advancing or you're going backwards. There's not something in between. One will think, oh, I'll just step back for a while. The step back means I'm going down. But devotees want to acknowledge that. No, I'm just as good as I was. You know, when I was in the fire, I was a temple president, I was doing all those things. I'm just as fired up now. And you ask everybody else in the yatra, including their wife and kids, and they'll say, no way. But it is my no, it's my, I'm there, you know, I can do it. You know, yeah, okay, you can do it for half an hour, you know, on Sunday you got out the bucket and served a shot, and then after that you went to talk to Joel. So, okay. You know, but it's not. You're either going up or you're going down. So, the whole thing is the encouragement is there and all that, but at the same time is you can't go beyond what gets the work done. You encourage to get to the next step. But when the person wants more than what they deserve at that point, then that's not proper. Right? Means it deserves so much. Okay, they got it. Okay, that much. But when they want cash in, then it's not worth it. Because if you cash in, then there's nothing to go forward with. Right? You have your money invested, then you cash in on it, then there's nothing to go forward with. Yeah, so that's the whole... That's the point, is Krishna consciousness is the most normal, real thing. It's the most down-to-earth, practical, straightforward thing. But we're used to playing the material drama. The spiritual drama is the reality. The Lord's pastimes, that's reality. But we're used to this reflection being reality. So then, Krishna consciousness is too simple. Right? I've seen devotees fully absorbed in service. Then they get married. They're in the service, their wife's in the service, they both have positions, they're both fully absorbed, they can both go on the rest of their life doing that service. But then the ego comes up. No, I'm a man, I have to be independent, I have to supply, I can't get anything from anybody, this, that. They move out of the situation, and then they do no service. They stop chanting, they don't associate, they don't this and that, all because it's a masculine ego. Or some feminine need for security. So either one of these egos just takes them out of devotional service. Right? There's no need. They're fully taken care of. I mean, what's the, you know, they go on forever about these things. But it's just, that's the thing. It's not practical. It gets in the way. The Krishna is just practical. It's there. You're eating. You have a place to stay. What's the problem? Nobody could change. So even if you have a house, I mean, no houses went down in the cyclone, a tornado. You know, no government decided to stick a road right any place. You know, no dacoits came and took everything. I mean, it's like, let's get real. What's in the newspaper? Only good Krishna conscious, pious results to religious activities. One disaster after another. You're living in a fabulous valley, and you love this valley, and it's full of trees and animals, and you know, your grandfather and great-grandfather have all been there, then they decide to make it into a reservoir. Right? That's it. And it's just like, you know, where is it? So that's the thing. Who is getting anything? Who is protecting anything? Right? So that's the thing, is that if it's there, Krishna is protecting it, it's favorable for devotional service, then what's the problem? So, what gets in the way is the ego gets in the way. The ego, the desires of the mind, are so-called intelligent. I'm more intelligent, you know. You know, the whole thing, right? Going to the moon. That was a matter of intelligence. Prabhupada says they didn't go to the moon. No, no, I saw it on the television. They went to the moon. Right? Right? The television. Right there. That's the moon. Right? No, but I went outside, I could see the moon. Right? The moon landing happened at full moon night. When the moon is up. So you see it on television, the moon's out, you go out and look at the moon. It's connected. Faith is instilled. It's just a trick. Prabhupada said, hey, I can't go to the moon, the moon's too far away. Plus the moon doesn't look like that. Scriptures say what the moon looks like. That's not the moon. You know, maybe Nevada, maybe Australia, but it's not the moon. Like that. So intelligent. No, I'm more intelligent. How about just some faith? But real intelligence, science. So that got in the person's way, but they don't advance. Their emotions get in the way. Oh, the devotees. Then they can't advance. And the ego gets in the way. They can't advance. So that's the problem. To be open, very open-hearted, but not naive. That's the thing. That's where these contradictions come in. It's like that. And that intelligence is then based on what Krishna means. Then you can balance it. Okay, we should probably stop here. It's only 10 minutes. Pantara Shima Pagatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Samadita Bhaktivinoda Ki, Janita Goro Vipendra.
Then actually, you said the gopis and the raja, is there any... So you see everything in connection with Krishna, right? Is it also a Paramatma, four arms, it's two arms. Then it comes up to the point, what about, you know, they saw Narayana, for example. But said, oh, it's just for the basis of the how we can understand this point.
He reminds them of Krishna. Mm-hmm. Just like the tamal tree, it's a tamal tree that reminds them of Krishna.
Another question for you, you spoke about the one of the Maras of Kodai. What's the name of one of the Maras of Kodai?
Gopakumar.
No, not Gopakumar.
So you're only talking about Gopakumar.
The Nimbakas. Huh? The Nimbakas, you said they cannot enter Vrindavan.
Vrindavan, that's their place.
Sabine.
But not Vrindavan. They're in Ananda Vrindavan.
Because which parts of the arms? They're living on Vrindavan or...?
They're living in Ananda Vrindavan.
We have an expert.
Means Goloka Vrindavan is 51% of the cosmic of this spiritual realm. So it's not small. So there's unlimited places.
So I'd like to know about.
See, when you want to put time and space on something that doesn't have it, you're going to run into problems. We were discussing rasa. And now if you bring it down to time and space, it can't be understood because there is no time and space over there. It's like, how is it here that the material covering is here and this is the spiritual realm? So devotees, some will see the material world, some will see that it is the spiritual realm, and some will see the eternal pastimes. And it's all happening in the same spot. So like that, so many things are going on. So never don't get too much into questions about time and space because they can't be answered and they can't be understood because your brain can't go, your intelligence doesn't go beyond the material world. The spiritual world your intelligence doesn't go there. It ends in the material world. It's made out of material elements. You can't go there, so you can't understand that. What's been revealed, you can understand that. But beyond that,
I'd like to know about this one. If you could find out the causation, you know, right now, you know, Ukraine to the Lord. And I'd like to know, usually Prabhupada says that usually our prayers are contaminated by
the prayers of the acharyas.
Like Prabhupada says, like Balaji, whatever.
Yeah. Like that. From that, you get the idea that you see that your prayers are in the line of those prayers. But just from our own, what are you going to pray for? We don't know what to pray for. The acharyas know, so we follow their prayers. Either offer their prayers in the same kind of points and moods as their prayers.
Is it a spiritual prayer to pray to stay forever in the holy town? Or do
it is spiritual, but the point is that what are you going to do there? You stay in the Dham eternally, what are you going to do?
To serve the Lord.
And sir, what is the purpose of your service?
To please Krishna.
So then why not pray to please Krishna? And then he'll work out where he wants you to please him.
Because you know, yeah, this body is there. Yeah. You must leave its ignorance.
Yeah, so then, but what's that got to do with pleasing Krishna? The two different things. Why a point of time and space for something to please Krishna? What if Krishna wants you to please him somewhere else? So then you can only please him in a limited way, because you've already said what sphere you're going to please him in, and that's it. And so Krishna has to accept that.
I think that it's more easy to serve Krishna here than in the outside.
That we may appreciate the Dham and like the Dham and want to be, you know, qualified and we can serve him here, but whether he wants to keep us here, that's up to him. We don't have to play.
Of course,
to have the qualifications to be able to serve in the Dham, that's okay. But you know, to say you're going to stay here eternally, what if he wants you somewhere else? You know, I mean, what is staying here eternally? You know, down in Bhulagat or what? You know, what I'm saying? What does that mean? You're going to live in Bhulagat in your house there eternally?
Yes.
So then, that's what I'm saying. It's a temporary prayer. So prayers are supposed to be eternal.
What about a prayer to go look in the Dham after leaving this body?
But the point is do any of the acharyas put that in their prayers?
But that's what I'm asking, because yeah, Mahabhu was saying life after life like that.
Yeah, but how they say, may I be engaged in your devotional service life after life? He didn't say where, he didn't say how. So that's eternal. Devotional service is eternal. So that they're doing, they're not restricting.
Does mean it's a selfish desire?
Yeah, it's spiritual, but it's selfish.
The pure.
Yeah, I mean that's the mood of the Vaikunthavasis. So we're not interested in Vaikuntha. So.
The last question I have, if you don't mind, maybe you're such lovers. For example, Mr. Prabhasan, then we should pronounce in the right way. But it can happen we pronounce in the wrong way. And we can see in cases like Bhutasura, the opposite of Hitmasaya.
Mm-hmm. That's Vedic mantras.
Vedic mantras.
Yeah, but these aren't
Vedic. It's a different thing. But what will happen, what will be the result?
It means you have to try your best, and you have to try to educate yourself that you do your best. The main thing is the devotion. See, Vritrasura wasn't, I mean, they weren't doing that yajna for devotion. They were doing that for material purpose. So it's not materially perfect. They won't get the materially perfect result. So the main thing is devotion. If you endeavor with that devotion, then. But if you relax and say that's good enough, you should always try to do it.